One.
Two.
Three.
Four.
Five.
Six.
Seven.
Eight.
Nine.
10. And we did it. And that's the only time we've ever done it and no one's fucked it up. I can't believe it.
Yeah, yeah, for real. That usually is the only time.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this Freedom of Good Home, recently named the internet's only remaining funny podcast. I'm Michael Hing, and joining me, as always, is a man who is, I think, joining us from not his own house, but a house he's broken into. It's Ben Jenkins.
You're really putting that. I feel like I need to explain myself, but before I explain myself, should we bring in our guest? Because I want to explain it to him as well. Because
Sure. We've
only just met, and the only data point he has about me is what I look like and that I break into houses. So,
well, our guest this week is an improviser. You might know him from the UCB Theatre in Los Angeles, where he's been a mainstay of the teaching staff there and also performing there. He worked for a while as a director at the Jimmy Kimmel comedy program as well. It is Jacob Reed. G'day, Jacob. How's it going?
Hello. Oh, good day.
Yes. Now that we've started having more Americans on the podcast, the g'day greeting has become a lot more, I guess, called out in a way it wasn't before.
Yeah. Yeah, we have to do at least 5 minutes at the top of every episode explaining that that's not a bit.
I felt it was genuine. I have an almost 2-year-old, and there's a fantastic cartoon made in Australia called Bluey.
Oh yes, yes, yes.
Everybody loves Bluey.
Are there shit people who work on it? Is it?
It's really the guy who voices the dad.
He's a comedian or something.
Well, right? He's one of those frustrating people who's a really great performer and funny guy, but he's a musician. He was the lead singer, I think, or the guitarist in a band in the late 90s, early 2000s called Custard.
Yes. His name's Dave McCormack, and he's sort of an Australian rock folk legend.
Can I swear?
Yes.
Yeah, of course
you can. Yeah. What an asshole.
I know, right? I know.
Just stay in your lane. Just be good at one thing.
No, I don't want to sound like I'm being dramatic here, but if I see him in the street, because I think he lives in Brisbane, but if I see him in the street, I'm going to hit him with a car. I mean, that's like...
Well, Ben, you also have a young child. Does Mo like Bluey as well?
Moses is going through a phase right now where he has he loves certain things. Like he loves like stories and Bluey and Thomas the Tank Engine, but he only likes them in book or in audio form. And if he sees them sort of come to life,
terrified.
He is terrified.
Oh, that's delightful. Because then you don't have to limit television hours.
No, he just listens to these. I don't want to hang shit on another podcast, especially in a similar sphere as ours. But the Thomas and Friends Storytime podcast is, by the way,
I thought that's what I had been asked to do.
Yeah.
Today. So it is very similar to this podcast.
He will listen to up to probably 10 episodes of that a day. They're 10 minutes each. And he has very strong opinions about which episodes he likes and which he doesn't. And it's decided entirely by random. and I tried to, because there is a special on at the moment on our on one of Australia's streaming services with Thomas the Tank Engine, where there's like a 40-minute special where Thomas visits the Queen, and that takes, like I say, 40 or 45 minutes. And I would love nothing more than to just put him in front of that. But the moment that it comes on and the trains start talking and moving around, he has, I guess, what's quite a rational fear of that. And his little eyes go wide and his little mouth drops open. And he says, "Daddy, I'm a little bit worried. I'm a little bit worried." And so I have to turn it off.
How old is he?
He's 2.5.
Great.
So, yeah, but Bluey has become like one of Australia's most reliable cultural exports. It's crazy.
It's just delightful. Like there's never so many children's cartoons hit you so hard with moral, and I feel like, which is good-ish. I mean, it's good to learn morals, but I feel like Bluey is just like, this meandery show that works the way children actually play and experience the world.
Right.
And then there are kind of lessons, but it's just, it just feels real and fun.
I will say it's never addressed why the dogs can talk.
And do they live in a world of other animals?
Or they live in an all-dog world, yes.
An all-dog world, okay. But so this is an alien planet or something.
But it's a bit like Babar. I don't know, Jacob, did you get Babar in America?
The
elephant?
Too. And we have a couple of Babar books, but the cartoon is not as big here.
Sure. It was fairly big here. But one of the things about Babar that I don't know if Bluey does is sort of sentience among the animals is more or less randomly assigned. Like some animals in Babar are just dumb animals that can't talk and wear suits and play croquet. Uh-huh. Like I don't know if Bluey, if there's like just house cats in Bluey or if there's like...
To my knowledge, it's as if humans don't exist.
Yeah,
but dogs are humans instead, and then every other animal is not sentient.
Okay,
but I'm only like 40 episodes in, so
you haven't really dug down into the lore. So, you've got to watch the anime prequels. By the way, they're incredible.
This is by far the longest, I'm sure, Bluey talk. You're like, please get us back on track.
No,
I have an animated animals related question I want to bring up with you guys. But before then, Ben, I was asking you about the fact that you've broken into your neighbor's house
to record this
podcast.
Here's the thing, Jacob. Here in Sydney, Australia, we're in lockdown. And we've been in lockdown for maybe three or four weeks. You would have had lockdown with the child you're in LA or
I'm in Los Angeles, and things got really bad here, but the only time we had a lockdown is for like the first week when everyone was just freaking out and involuntarily locking down. Otherwise, no one can agree on anything in this country.
Sure.
America's crazy.
Well, we can't like most of the shops are closed now. You can do an hour of exercise outside. So it's hard because my wife is a lawyer and she works in a real job. I work in TV, so it's not real and it's not it's not important in any way, but it's really hard. Both of us working from home with this toddler, we have my mother-in-law comes and looks after him during the day, but it's still really hard. We've got this small little house, and our neighbors are currently stuck in New Zealand because they can't get back. And they were like, "Can you feed our cat?" And I said yes, and then I said to them, "Hey, look," I explained the situation, and I said, "Do you think there's any chance that I could just work in your house during the day? I'll look after the cat as well." And they said, "Oh, of course, yeah. Now, here's my question to you guys. Does recording a bullshit podcast where we talk about Bluey for at least 5 minutes, is that in the spirit of the agreement that we had?"
Absolutely.
Do you think?
Absolutely. I would put it in the spirit of the agreement of just watching the cats.
Well, I am looking at the cat right now. So,
if
I mean,
something like, were to happen to the cats right now, would you notice?
It depends. You know what, Jacob?
More
it depends
so
how deep in the goof we were.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, but definitely more than if you were at your house.
That's true.
Yes.
I just think if I asked somebody to house sit or even, you know, cat sit, I would want an ironclad assurance that they would not be recording any podcasts in the house.
Any content in the house.
Where my child sleeps. Do you know what I mean?
I wouldn't want people to like film something, but if it's audio, what's the difference?
That's true. Well, look, I don't know if they listen to this podcast. I'd be very surprised if they do.
If they did, I mean, surely they would know that this was an eventuality. You know,
if they listened to it and I didn't bring it up, do you reckon they'd be like, "That sounds like our fucking kitchen"? Wait a minute. So where I am right now. Moses is next door, not sleeping. Mm-hmm. He's tuckered himself out. He's hyped himself up rather all day. He goes into like a kind of what I want to call kind of like an aggressive Martin Prince vibe. Where he'll we'll be like walking along doing our daily 1 hour of exercise, and he'll like the meltdown today was that he wanted to pick and sniff a bunch of daisies, and we
Is
did
that,
that
not
for,
okay?
Well, no, it's fine, but we had to go inside for lunch after like 45 minutes
of smelling daisies,
and he had a full blown meltdown because he wanted to be out in nature. So yeah, now
maybe he's like just trying to respond to this modern age. You know, it's very important that we all go out and touch some grass, Ben.
Very possible. Important. But now for the next, you know, however long the three of us chat, he is not my issue.
Right. Well, something that will be your issue is we were talking about animated animals before, and I just wanted to bring this to your attention because it's not really podcast specific, but I guess it's sort of our areas of interest comedically adjacent.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see that Woolworths, which is a supermarket brand here, Jacob, has released some Olympic mascots to help our Olympians when they go over to Tokyo?
I did see that.
I've just put this in the chat if you want to have a look at that. That is an image of the mascots they have released.
Oh, this is porn.
Yeah. It's sort of furry. It's sort of furry porn is kind of what it is. It's kind of a horny style of drawing. It's
no
the biggest
doubt.
Supermarket in Australia, and they've released this.
Yeah, this 100% is written. It was drawn by someone who also has drawn internet porn.
Yeah, and to their enormous credit, they did not draw this as porn.
No,
You're right. You can still see there's a kind of horny latency there.
Well, here's the thing. Apparently, Woolworths found the person on like DeviantArt, like yep. the.
How do you bring that up in the meeting?
Exactly.
Yeah, I might know somebody.
Which is like, obviously on this podcast, obviously our motto is, you know, do whatever you want. It's totally fine. I just think it's
well,
very,
hang
very
on.
Fun.
I just I, let's not extend that
want.
To murder.
Sorry, yeah.
I mean,
not everything. But like, obviously, you know, if you're for a fairy, go, you know, God bless you. Good on you. But what I think is very funny is the meeting where it is revealed that these mascots that are sending out, that are giving our Olympians good luck for the future, have, you know, a clearly sexual in some nature, and then someone's got to do some explaining to the board of Woolworths.
What I like about this is, I'm sure, Jacob, you're familiar with, like, you know, that endless process of, like, you know, I imagine you've been on both sides of this where, like, somebody delivers something and then you have to give notes or you have to receive notes and you have a back and forth on it. And it's like, yeah. Well, we're really pushing the deadline here, but like, you know, blah, blah, blah. I reckon they would have gotten the final proofs and the person who got them would have gone, okay, yep, great. And they would have known in their hearts of hearts that that was too horny and they would have shown it to somebody and they would have gone, yep, okay. And they would have known until it went all the way up the chain until somebody said, can we make this less horny? And the person would have had to say, there's simply no time. There's simply...
100%. I've spent a bulk of my career as a creative director in like ad agencies and stuff. And I can guarantee you 100% that not only is that what happened, but that they found the person to draw this the same way. Where like someone had put it off and someone thought someone else was going to do it. And then they had to present some stuff. So they looked up like anthropomorphized animals or something. And that led them to DeviantArt. And they're like, this person will do it for cheap. And then that was that. When was this announced?
This week, I think.
Actually, okay. Yeah, you're right. It's pretty close to the wire.
I guarantee you that it will come out that this person's portfolio also has some very sexual stuff in it. Almost guaranteed.
Well, Jacob, this is a podcast where we go through the week's classifieds and find the best and worst things to talk about. And I was wondering, are you someone who buys and sells things online at all?
Almost exclusively. Like I,
yeah,
I,
really?
Yes. We almost are like running an object laundering company at my house where we
really
buy one thing and then sell it. Right behind me, there used to be a jogging stroller that we didn't use for 6 months because we were like, oh, we'll go jogging. And then our kid was like, I want to get out and run around. We're like, oh, okay, we won't jog. And we bought it used for $250 on Craigslist or one of those. Mm-hmm. And this morning we sold it for $250. And it was like, we are part of the stuff economy 100%.
You were saying to me before that you almost got scammed by someone though as well.
I did. I'm one of the most skeptical people. Like, we're trying to get a loan for a remodel in our house. And like the actual people who are trying to give us the loan have called multiple times. And I don't believe that it's them because I asked them like, okay, where's a callback number I can reach you at? what's your name? I'm going to look you up on LinkedIn. Like, I'm so skeptical of everything that my wife is just like, hey, you need to calm down, Columbo. Like, you're not, you know, it's not a problem for you. And I got scammed. The only time I've ever gotten scammed that I know of, because most scams, you don't know you're getting scammed.
Sure.
But the only time that I know of that I've been scammed is I was trying to buy tickets to something really last minute on Craigslist. And I want to say it was Wicked the Musical, which is something I'm not even that big of a fan of. But this was like, we were, I think that my wife had gotten pregnant at that point. And so we were just in this blitz of like, we have to have life experiences.
Oh, yeah.
Sure. Let's go and do this now before our life becomes being parents and nothing else.
Exactly. And so,
my biggest regret before we had Moses was not seeing the musical Wicked.
There you go. And I was going to write that wrong for you. And so I found someone who apparently they had 4 tickets and they were like, it was that night's performance. They were orchestra seat. It was like definitely my spidey sense of like, this is too good to be true was going off. And I was like, I'm not going to get scammed. I'm going to prove that this is either right or that it's a scam. So I was like, well, why don't I buy one ticket, $75 each. I'll buy one. And then if that works, I'll buy the other 3. And I asked the guy, he wanted to do Zelle, which I had never done
what
before.
What the fuck is Zelle? What is this Zelle? American nonsense?
Thing. Yeah. I think it might only be American, but it's basically, do you guys have like PayPal and Venmo?
No, sure, we have net banking, and we've had net banking since the early 2000s. Every time I watch any piece of American pop culture, and they're like, hey, man, just blorple me it. Like, it sends me mad.
But you have to understand that when your economy is built on like technocrats, and there has to be a new thing all the time. But so there was a thing that, like, whatever, PayPal and Venmo are these things that – private companies that weren't really in banking, or I don't know, probably they had funding, whatever. Zelle is the answer to that from the big banks that like works across all the big banks in the US, and you can transfer money, whatever. So you transfer money, there's no like undo. So I was like, all right, I'm going to send this guy $75 on Zelle. Seems like a scam. What can I do to make it not a scam? I'm going to insist that we send each other images of ourselves holding up our ID cards so that we can prove that we are us. But then I was like, haha, in case this is a scam, I'm going to take that picture, but then black out any personal information, right?
Sure.
You can't get any of my personal information. It's already so dumb. So then I send it to him and he sends me one back. And I was like, great. Here's the $75. You know, send me the tickets. And of course he never sends me the tickets. And I'm like, hey, where are the tickets? And he's like, I'm just trying to get my girlfriend's account and blah, 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 blah. Can you try sending it again? And I was like, no way, dude. And I realized, of course I've been scammed. And I felt really stupid, but also like, like I should have known.
So did you have this guy? You bet you had this guy's photo on his ID. Did you?
I did. So of course that wasn't him. And the reason that it gets even worse is every, I don't know, this was like 2 years ago, every 3 or 4 months, I get an email from someone on either like LinkedIn or on some social site where they find me and they're like, haha, I got you, Jacob Reed, you motherfucker. You tried to scam me, but I found you. And so then I talk to them. And I determine, and they're like, this is you, asshole. And they send me the picture that I sent him where I'm holding. So now this person who scammed me is using the thing I gave him, which I should have never given him, to prove it wasn't a scam. I gave him tools to scam more people.
So do you think also like the plot of Saw 1, the image that you saw was somebody who had been scammed?
100%. Yes.
Oh my God.
100%.
So you're now the face of a Wicked ticket scam.
It's been a different thing every time. Someone will be like, I wanted to see the 49ers, you asshole. Like, I wanted to go see Garth Brooks, motherfucker. Like, I'm ruining different diverse types. I don't know if diverse types of dreams is the 49ers and Garth Brooks. It seems like the same person. But yes, I not only got scammed, but I am, my physical face and name is now out on the internet scamming other people. And so that I have is... like a form thing I send to them. It's like, hey, here's the FBI, blah, 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 blah. You should file a complaint, blah, blah, blah.
That is both incredible and entirely your fault. It's both of those things.
Entirely my fault.
Now this guy seems like he's not on the level. Tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to send him my photo ID.
All right. Well, let's get into some classifieds. I've just put one in the chat there if you want to click on it. This has been sent in by Aditya. Thank you, Aditya. And it's actually a question that was on a sort of a professional Reddit. And Ben and Jacob, I thought you might be able to help this person with this. Basically, Aditya's found a post of someone who needs help. And the post is, how can I inform my boss that I may have been hired by mistake? Okay. Here we go. I was hired at my current workplace just over a month ago. During the interview process, I found out that someone I knew from university was also interviewing for the position. Let's call him Jim. Jim and I have been very close. Sorry, have never been close, but are merely aware of each other based solely on technical knowledge and relevant expertise. So sort of, I guess, like your university competitor, I guess.
Sure.
Basically, Jim should have got the job but didn't get the job is what this person says. Now, this is what they write. On multiple occasions, my manager has made statements along the lines of, you'd be good at this project due to your expertise in X or Y.
Oh.
But I only have limited knowledge for that technology you mentioned. I know that Jim has experience with both of them. Each time, I've simply brushed it off. More recently, I overheard my manager mention Jim's previous employer as though I had worked there. He made this mistake twice, referencing the same company. So like, oh, you'd know this, you work for Google or whatever. And they never had, for example. Given the above and some other hints, I believe my manager mixed our resumes up and may have hired me by mistake. The interviews were over the phone, so he would have noticed my face. He would not have noticed by my face I'm the wrong candidate. I want manager to know my actual background and areas of expertise and feel guilty that I stole a position using someone else's credentials. However, I'd also like to retain my job and my position, if possible. How can I tell my manager I was hired by mistake? A wild situation to find yourself in.
So first of all, I think they're definitely right about this, right?
Like, yes. Yeah.
They have 100% had that mix up.
Yes.
I think you need to double down. I think you just need to steal Jim's identity. So the first thing you're going to want to do is wait till he wants to see the musical Wicked.
and then ask him for a copy of his photo ID sent to you. Oh, him holding
it. I was waiting for them to get to the part where they're like, we have a big deadline coming up. To create mascots for the Olympics, and I don't know where to look.
Jim would be perfect for this.
Yeah.
It's kind of hard. Like, I think we've all had jobs before that we felt woefully underqualified for. I think that's just part of, like, working in a creative industry or, like, even having any job, I think. Like, the first time you get any job, just like, what the fuck am I doing here? You know, these people are, these are adults with real things going on, and, you know, I don't know what the fuck I'm doing.
No, I'm very confident.
Really, Ben? Really?
Yeah.
I've never felt
like an imposter in one of your jobs?
No, I've never really had that. I felt like being surrounded by imposters, but never. No, I get it. Yeah, I mean, like, this person's been in the job for a year, right?
I think it's just over a month.
Oh, well, yeah, They're fucked.
I know the first time I had, like, a television job, it was working at a video game television show.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like my first, like, I guess, regular TV gig. And I remember at the time I was like a competitive video game player and I felt very confident going in that I would be like, I'm going to crush this job. I'm going to be so good at this. Mm-hmm. And then about 4 weeks into the gig, I realized that I knew nothing about making television. And the only television I knew anything about making was comedy. And what these people were trying to make was like a serious show about video games. And I felt so woefully inadequate to this job. And a couple of times went up to my boss and was like, I don't know why you've hired me. I'm very bad at this. And then about 10 weeks into that gig, I was fired.
Ah.
So I think it's very important.
What I love about that story, Michael, is that it really had the trajectory of, like, everybody feels like they're an imposter. But in this case, you absolutely were. And you shouldn't have had that job. And then you didn't have that job anymore.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, things have worked out okay, but
I think that the really torturous thing would be that they can't, I don't know what labor laws are like wherever they are, but like, I imagine it would be very difficult to be like, oh, well then you don't have the job anymore, goodbye. What I would find really hard about that situation is you say that and then you have to wait like 2 months for them to find another reason to let you go. That awkwardness to me is more stressful than the idea of not having employment and healthcare and things like that. You know what I mean?
I think they have to say something. I had the opposite of this happen to me where I was called and told that I did not get a job. And then I was called back and said that I was supposed to get it. And then I didn't know if I actually, because there was another Jacob that interviewed, I found out. And the guy who was the hiring manager at this job is such a dipshit that he's like gotten fired after a year ever, but like failed upwards. His LinkedIn is like just a string of like, anyway. But what I, my honest best advice, depending on, how much of the job they think that they can do, if they think that they can do like 50% or more of this job, then I would just talk to the manager and just say, hey, you made a couple references to this and this. I just want to make sure that you know I didn't work at those places. I don't think that I would. I don't think I would accuse the manager of hiring you by accident, because that means you think they're an idiot and they not react positively to that. But I think just
it's so rare to have earnest advice on this podcast. It's so rare.
I mean, we are. This is.
I would also start, I mean, I would look for other, I would start looking for other job opportunities as soon as you do that, because
that's very necessary.
But I mean, in America, I think you could get in trouble for firing someone just because you accidentally hired them.
Really? I mean, that makes sense. Like, you know,
I think this is all very good advice, Jacob, if we're thinking this person works in an office or in an industry, like a bullshit nonsense industry. If they're a surgeon or something like that, I think they probably need to be honest about what's happening.
The technologies the people mistakenly believe that they operate is like, I don't know, the NASA program or something. You know, it could be a lot worse.
I just don't think that you can be honest about it. I think you should be honest about it, but I don't think that you can tell your manager that you think they meant to hire someone else, but they are so colossally stupid that they accidentally also, like, unless this person is also named Jim or something, like, how do you
navigate that?
Yeah.
Ben, do you have one you want to share with us?
Yeah. Guys, this really scratches a lot of Freedom Good Home itches, I feel. Mm-hmm. This is from Eugene in CL. That's Craigslist. Never mind. In the city of Craigslist, in Eugene, this is the title is Vulture Culture Deal, and the copy reads like this: I have 30 frozen rats in my freezer. That would be great if somebody's into making bone jewelry. These were pets that passed away but cannot be used as food for anything due to having been on some medications.
Oh.
Take them all and use them for something? Or do you have a spot I could bury them? I'd appreciate that too. Thank you.
Wow.
And that's the whole ad.
Wow. Okay. So much to unpack here. First of all, I want to know, how many rats are you allowed to have as pets? I would have thought the limit is one or two. 30 seems like a problem, I think.
30 heavily medicated rats.
30 sick rats.
Well, there's also the question of when and how did they die? Did they die from an illness that they were on the medication for? And did they die in mass? Or was it like this person had one rat, it died. Put it in the freezer, get a new one. Then the second rat died. They're like, let's add it to the freezer. And then before they knew it, there's not room for waffles. And they're like, these rats have
Exactly. And are they going back to an increasingly suspicious pet store owner?
It's like, you're buying four at a time now? Interesting. Okay.
look, I'm selling you rats, but I'm also selling you all this rat medication. And I'm wondering.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I mean, this is obviously very naive of me, but how sick can a rat get?
What do you mean?
I would think that...
What do you mean? Do you think rats are just binary? They're either completely healthy or they're dead?
I'm thinking, from a human perspective, all the mm-hmm. things that make us very ill are mm-hmm. things that rats sort of are fine with. You know what I mean?
That's such an exaggeration.
Not all the things, but what I'm saying is, for you to have like 30 rats that have all been medicated and have all been dead, mm-hmm. that suggests to me that something really bad is going on. Because
do you know, Michael, rats and humans share a lot of weaknesses. It's if they didn't, using them to test medicine on wouldn't be a very good idea.
So are you saying these rats have the novel coronavirus? Is that what you're saying, Ben?
Yeah, do you reckon this guy's trying to cure the novel coronavirus?
The medication was rat vaccine. I don't know. Also, I guess the other thing is the bone jewelry. That really sticks out at me.
I'm trying to think of a situation where even that phrase would go unnoticed. Like, yeah. Like just if you said, oh, I saw some lovely bone jewelry, or I know someone who makes bone jewelry, like there's no way.
No, do you know what it is? It's like, hey, Jacob, did you hear they caught that guy? Yeah, they caught the guy. His house was full of bone jewelry.
That makes sense to me. That's the situation where it makes sense.
We can once again walk the streets of Eugene.
Or if there was some kind of indigenous group that didn't want to be wasteful, and they were like, uh-huh. we respect this animal so much that...
I don't know that any culture in the world respects the rat. You know, no, I think rats are universally reviled, aren't they?
Isn't it?
I don't know, but I will say that if it is a cultural thing, I don't think the traditional way is buying 30 frozen rats off some lunatic. Like, I think if it is a cultural practice, they have their own rat guy, which is probably the rat.
That is true. That is true. Actually, Jacob, you did remind me just then. It is one of the Chinese zodiacs.
Yes,
I did momentarily forget that. Look, I can't be across every single... But I've just quickly looked up Year of the Rat and people who are born under the rat sign. Because I mean, of all the Chinese zodiac ones, rat's got to be one of the worst, surely. Yeah. I would think. I'm not an expert on it. But here is just some personality traits. But here's my thing. I don't know that they're very... I don't see the link between these personality traits and the animal of the rat.
Okay.
Okay, so people born in the year of the rat are optimistic and energetic.
I think rats have a can-do attitude.
Okay, well...
Whether they're scurrying... Yeah.
Uh-huh. Optimistic. Whether this and energetic.
Yeah, optimistic, sure.
And energetic. And they are liked by all.
Okay, well, that's a stretch.
They're sensitive to other people's emotions, but are stubborn with your own opinion. Their personality is kind, but they have weak communication skills.
that's at least true.
And they may seem impolite and rude, which I think is at odds with being likable by all. You know what I mean?
It's almost as if zodiacs are bullshit.
Kind of made up and completely.
Do you think the rat is the most despised animal?
I'd say close to. Maybe the...
mosquito.
Yeah, dung beetle, I guess. People hate the dung beetle. Actually, no one hates the dung beetle.
Like
I just find
like
it funny.
Dung beetles. They're just...
It's true.
Sisyphus kind of rolling around.
Yeah, exactly.
Sisyphus.
They're the most Sisyphean beetle you'll find. I mean, what's not to like about the humble dung beetle?
All right, I got a question for you, Jacob. Do you have a use for 30? What would you, if someone turned up at your house with 30 frozen rats and said, mm-hmm. "Deal with this"? What would you do?
You scammed me out of Stevie Nicks tickets. Now it's 30 frozen rats.
Jeez. I mean, my first thought would be to burn them, but I would think, like, could that release some kind of pathogen?
Oh,
some
sure.
rat disease?
Well, at the very least, it's going to release rat particles. I mean,
just floaty, wispy yeah. embers of rat skin. And my question is, like, if someone did that, do I need to get in touch with law enforcement or something? Like, do you think this person either just lives kind of on a different wavelength than the rest of us, or this is a trap to catch whatever they're really trying to catch?
Which is a gigantic cat, I guess.
Yeah, are they like, is this a predator? Are they lying? Is this someone who's just like a kooky aunt who wants to keep their pets?
Oh, yeah. The idea that this was a baby boomer didn't occur to me. I thought it was a very sickly young man, but the idea that this could have been the sort of doddering baby boomer who just accidentally keeps killing rat after rat after rat by giving them Xanax or whatever.
Do you think it's possible, Ben, then, to kill 30 rats and it not be a crime? Like, I don't think you could have this many dead rats I think if this many rats have died in your possession, a crime has taken place. Whether it's animal cruelty or just, I guess, raticide. Isn't a crime because we do pest control people to do it. I don't know.
If this person was a pest control person, they wouldn't be like, I don't know what to do with these rats. They would
That's
know.
True. Yeah. That's true. That's true.
Any pest control person worth their salt knows how to dispose of rats.
Unless this person had been hired based on false qualifications into their pest control job.
What is?
You want my buddy Jim?
What is vulture culture? Is that an Australian phrase?
No.
What does that mean to me? Because those words rhyme. I know that, but otherwise,
I think a culture vulture, a culture. I know a culture vulture is someone
who simply loves culture.
Yeah. Yes. But a vulture culture is kind of like, I guess, the culture of vultures, which is dead rats in many ways.
Yeah, I think they're trying to polish a turd here.
Oh,
you know
sure,
what I mean?
Sure.
You worked in advertising, you understand. Like, I think what they're trying to do is put an interesting spin on what is in no uncertain terms, a bag of dead frozen rats.
And they can't just throw them away?
Well, this is the other thing. Well, I wouldn't know. Okay, if in your scenario, Michael, that somebody mm-hmm. went ding dong, rat man, mm-hmm. and then dropped 30 rats. You guys remember when the rat man used to come by? I mean, you don't get him anymore, but you know, the rat man used to come by. He'd go ding dong, rat man, leave a bag of frozen rats on your door.
And then you could put the bag back and they'd refill it with new rats.
Exactly. That was such
times.
A wonderful and simple time. Yeah. I would not know how to dispose of... I had a mild meltdown the other day trying to work out how to dispose of a light bulb. I didn't know what bin that went in. 30 frozen rats. I'm stumped.
A green bin? Green bin, maybe? We have another clue. I've just looked up. Eugene is a city in Oregon.
Okay.
That's where this is. That's where
what
this
is that a clue to?
Well,
wait,
is Oregon...
from Eugene, Oregon?
Yeah, this is from Eugene, yeah. Oregon. And I feel like Oregon's it's a kind of a weirdo state, isn't it?
It's Portland the number is kind one of... state where I would expect to hear someone talk about bone jewelry. So that
I feel
is
like
less
Portland's
weird to
in
me
Oregon.
Now.
Portland's famously weird. There's obviously campaigns to keep it weird. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Is Eugene also a kind of a place for lack of a better word, weirdos, Jacob?
No, I mean, not to my knowledge, but I only know a couple cities in Oregon, but there's one that's known for its Shakespeare Festival, and that's like a year-round thing. That's Ashland, Oregon. And then pretty much the rest of Oregon is like red state, like,
right.
See, there are two types of weird that I think we're talking about here. Mm. There's like quirky Portlandia weird, and then there's season one True Detective weird, which is what I think we're dealing with.
Yeah,
with this particular thing. Jacob, do you have one to take us home with?
Sure. Let's see. I do. I don't know what platform this is from.
I think this is a Reddit. This one was sent in on Reddit.
Okay, so this is from Reddit, and it says... Oh, yes, it is, because I was going to say, I don't know what AITA is, but I do. It's AITA, am I the asshole? So that's
okay.
A subreddit. So it says, am I the asshole for telling my BF, probably boyfriend, how I feel about Marvel's Hulk? My BF and I were watching Thor Ragnarok, and the part where you see Hulk's butt came on. BF was like, ew, why would they show that? No one wants to see Hulk's butt. First of all, I would disagree strongly with that. I'm actually a bit weird, I guess, and I am very attached to the Hulk, as I have a thing for extremely muscular and inhumanly big guys. LOL. So I said, excuse me, but I am very appreciative of them putting in some Hulk ass. I think the Hulk is insanely attractive. BF got pissed off hearing this and turned off the movie and put something else on. I asked him why he was being so rude, typo. And he says, I'm a weirdo for liking the Hulk and for telling him that when he didn't want to hear it. I got mad at him for calling me that, and we argued back and forth. Was I being an asshole, or was my BF the asshole?
Okay, I want to do the three of us answer at the same time. Yes, for the poster is an asshole. Uh-huh. No, for the poster is not an asshole.
Okay.
Okay, ready?
Yep.
One, two, three.
No.
No.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah?
So open and shut. The boyfriend is, first of all, I'm not into like big hulky butts or anything, but like who gives a shit? Hulk, it's his butt, right? It's a movie franchise where there's multiverses, right? A big green strong ass is not the weirdest thing about it. But two, the boyfriend is kink shaming and then not even talking about it, just turning it off and saying that, yeah, I mean, this is 100%. You should probably not be in a relationship with this person.
The turning off the movie really gets so me. Fun. I reckon what it is this guy is a very petite guy.
Yes. Mm. No doubt.
With a non-Hulk-like butt. And this is the first he's hearing that the partner has a predilection
right.
for Hulk ass.
Yeah.
And he has dealt with it in the worst possible way, which is to turn off the movie. Speaking of bad ways to watch movies, guys, me and Anya, that's my wife, Jacob, we were watching Children of Men last night because Anya had never seen it.
Now, this is the movie where no one's having kids anymore.
Yeah, no one can, like, for 18 years, a baby hasn't been born.
And there's also a scene that's, like, sort of, there's a famous scene in it that's, like, sort of one continuous shot and they're throwing ping pong balls in each other's mouths or something?
There's a couple of those scenes, but there is only one where they're doing the ping pong balls,
okay.
Yes.
Yep.
It's a very, partly because of those long takes, it's a very tense film. And one thing that I forgot about my wife is that she does not like any kind of conflict in fiction.
Wait, what?
She's very similar to Moses in this way.
But also, where I guess because she's a lawyer by trade and a very successful one, I guess she has a lot of conflict in her everyday life. And the last thing she wants is to come home and to relive the gladiatorial spectacle that is the argument.
I don't think it's that. Like, let me explain what kind of conflict she doesn't like. Mm-hmm. Every half hour of watching this film, she would take the remote and pause it and say, are they going to be okay? And then I would say, what do you mean? She's very sweet.
Incredibly, yeah.
And she'd say, don't tell me if they're okay at the end. Tell me if in this particular situation they're going to be okay. So can I just say that that is a wonderful way to watch a film, as the director intended.
Also, if you have a kid, you're probably, you said almost 2.5, so you probably haven't seen a whole lot of movies just beginning to end in a very long time anyway.
We're very out of practice in that, actually. Yeah. So I guess the reason I brought that up is that couples often will have difficulty watching films. But I was going to say, if she had said, I love Clive Owen's juicy butt.
How would you have felt
in this film?
Would you have switched it off angrily?
I would have been confronted. I would have agreed, but I would not have switched the film off.
But that's not even what happened. What happened is the equivalent would have been if you guys were watching the movie and out of nowhere, you said, why do they have to show Clive Owen's chiseled face? Why no one wants to see
true.
That?
That's true.
Like, she was just quietly enjoying the movie.
That's right. She didn't. It didn't come on and she wasn't like, oh, may I just for a moment,
I've just posted the screenshot in question that shows the Hulk's ass in our little chat. And it's not gratuitous. It's almost out of focus. Like, in the foreground is Thor, and you see, and I would say, you know, Thor, Chris Hemsworth, a famously attractive man, you know, he's one of the Hollywood hunks. And then there's sort of a CGI green blob, and you see it's not a whole ass. It's like 70% of the ass. And it's not like Hulk's cheeks are spread wide open or anything.
If there was a scene where Hulk, in potentially a fit of rage, bent over and showed his entire asshole to the camera, then I might actually go to the person who I'm watching it with. Do we think that was necessary?
Do we think it was? Hulk to give a full-on brown eye to the camera for what is ostensibly a children's film.
Yeah.
Was that necessary?
Taika, you push boundaries, but you've gone too far this time.
I think you can find a way to earn it.
I should also say as well, this was sent in by Matt Gosper. Thank you very much, Matt.
Oh, my goodness.
Is there a better way, if you are someone who is sensitive about their tiny ass, as we've guessed this person may be, and then I guess one of the biggest asses in the world, in the multiverse, Hulk's butt, comes on screen, is there a better way for you to deal with this than screaming and then turning off the movie? Because I'm sure there is.
If there is, I can't see it. I mean,
is there a worse way?
It's true. This is one of the worst ways. This is basically the worst thing.
I think Ben is right that, like, as we've all kind of assumed, that it hit a nerve with this person for some reason. So probably... Yeah. My assumption building on that is that they are maybe not super aware of what their own insecurities are or how to deal with them.
Yeah.
So that puts, I mean, the only thing that I feel like if this person was aware that they were being like that, they wouldn't have done any of this. So, I mean, you almost need the person who posted it to say, like, hey, did I hurt your feelings by saying that? Like, what happened?
Yeah.
Which is kind of unfair to put them in that position.
To put back on that person, right? But it's also really hard because if you do try and like have that conversation, you do at one point have to say earnestly, hey, remember when we had that argument about the Hulk's ass? Like it has to feature that phrase.
Yeah.
Like you can dress it up however you want. Like remember Thursday night when we were watching the movie and there was a character.
Well, here's the, so Hum and I are thinking about this is my girlfriend and I are thinking about talking about one day the possibility of us thinking about talking about getting married, right? And so before we sort of committed to even the first steps of that, we talked about the possibility of us going to, I guess, what you might describe as like preventative marriage counseling or whatever.
Yeah,
it's like
idea.
before you commit to have your life together, you go and chat to a professional to be like, oh, is this right for us? I don't know. I've never been married before.
Sorry.
That kind of thing.
I thought what you were talking about was a service where you go to somebody and they talk you out of getting
engaged. Right? They're like, oh, you are very wrong for each other.
That's a Catholic thing, I think.
Yeah.
They're like, there's a thing where they separate the bride and the groom and they like make sure that they are sure before they get married. I apologize to any Catholics for messing that all up. I could
no
have
Catholics
totally
listen
wrong.
To our show. I can't imagine many Catholics would listen to our show. I've been thinking a lot about marriage counseling lately. We haven't gone yet because obviously locked out and there's no one, whatever. But I've been thinking a lot about it and having to, I guess, explain some of the very personal and weird things that you do in a relationship. That are fun to both of you, but if you had to explain to anyone, is just baffling and weird. Obviously, this would be an example of that. This obviously has, you know, bad stuff. This feels pretty toxic. But for example, I've been thinking about. I think I might have told you about this, but I don't know if I've talked about it on the podcast before. I've been sort of in the lab coming up with new wedgies to give Hum. Yeah, Jacob, I don't know if you're across wedgies. That's an American thing as well. It's sort of pulling
where
the underwear.
Yeah.
And it was sort of a fun thing we started doing years ago. And I've got
you guys give each other wedgies.
Each other wedgies.
In a sexual way or just like kind of a just a
no, it's not
around.
Sexual. Well, it's not.
It's not.
First of all, good on you for asking that question. Secondly, I really hope it isn't. But
it certainly doesn't start that way.
No, of
it's
course
just,
not.
It's just like a couple's goof. My wife and I credit card each other, which is, I don't know if you guys have that.
She what?
A credit card is like when a bully holds you down and runs their, like they're swiping a credit card in between your butt crack. She did it to me once, like bullying me when we first started dating. And then every once in a while, we'll kind of do it to each other to fuck with each other. Also, to my knowledge, not sexual at all, but just a little bit of a goof where like,
exactly. Yeah. Sure.
And I've also never told anyone that we do that. And I hope she's okay with that, but it sounds bonkers you that that's a normal thing.
So
that we do.
Me and Anya are normal.
How dare you? So recently I came up with a new wedgie, right? Which is kind of a, like, and you're sort of debuting in, it's like, it's when you come with a new wedgie, it's like, it's an advancement in wedgie technology. Do you understand? Like it's a big deal.
It's like a new iPhone.
Exactly.
Launch.
Exactly. Sure. So this one, it's kind of complicated. I'll try and explain it as best as I can. Basically, imagine, you know when people waddle around like a penguin? They put their arms down by their sides, mm-hmm. and they put their hands out to the sides. You know, they're waddling around like a penguin.
The penguin walk.
Yes,
yeah, I
the penguin walk. So imagine you're doing that, but instead of your hands being outside of your pants and underwear, they are inside your underwear, okay? Mm-hmm. So your hands go down through your underwear, and then you put your hands out.
Your own underwear.
Well, yeah. Well, and then the other person.
So are you guys wedging yourselves in front of each other?
Or are you wedging? This is a great taste of what couples therapy will be like. Just an incredulous person being like, wait, go back.
And then insisting that they're not judging, they're just trying to understand.
So I guess in this situation, I asked her to do this. I guess because I was like, I want to show you something. Yeah, she hasn't done this one to me, but there's been other ones. But I was like, can you just try this? And I was like, put your hands down through your, I guess, underwear, and then put your arms down through your underwear and your hands out to the side. And she was like, okay. And then I sort of like grabbed her hands and then lift them up above her shoulders like this.
Like a T-shape.
Like a T, yeah. Like a, almost like a...
Is that what you guys call
like
it?
An old-fashioned
like
corkscrew.
Opener? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, like a wine opener.
Like the wine opener.
By lifting her hands up, it's sort of like, it really, it self-wedgied her.
Oh, that's brilliant.
That is brilliant.
And I was really proud of that. And it was a real fun thing. And then sort of was like, can you imagine if we had to explain that to a marriage counselor at all? And I was like, well, of course, trying to explain it to a person outside of this relationship would be insane.
Oh, yeah. Things always sound worse when you say them.
But that just shows that you guys, you still have a lot of affection for each other. You still have found ways to keep things interesting and fun.
Not to mention wedgie ingenuity that I didn't really see coming.
We found a gap in the market. No one really else is innovating in the wedgie space. And we're really...
Oh, man. I'm so annoyed that I'm touched by that.
Yeah, same. I think that most couples therapists have heard so many awful things and have been in so many situations where they are maybe the people that have to tell a couple that something is toxic or manipulative.
And they have to break up or something. Yeah.
That they have to break up. That I think they would just, that would be so delightful for them to hear that it would carry them through their week.
Yeah, completely agree.
A gift.
Hard cut to me next week on this podcast being like, well, I'm single. The marriage counselor said it was awful. We've got to break up.
Jacob, it has been a delight having you on
guys,
this show.
This is Thank so much
you.
Fun.
Thank you so much for taking the time to sit here and talk bullshit with us. Mm-hmm. Where can people find more of you?
So people can check me out on Instagram at Typography Nerd and on Twitter at Jacob Reed, JACOBREED. I have a couple things I'm excited about that I can't share yet. But one thing is now that film festivals are all virtual and people can kind of tune into them from anywhere in the world, I mostly do comedy stuff, but I have a documentary short that has been winning some awards that is at an Oscar qualifying documentary shorts program called Indie Shorts. That it's just indyshorts.org. It's I'm going to sound like a real tool now because I forget where in the U.S. it is because I'm not going there. But it's
everywhere.
It's everywhere. So you can watch it, and it's a documentary that I made with some friends that I'm super proud of. That is not particularly funny, but it's not funny. There's some jokes in it. Mm.
What's it about? What does it deal with?
So it's about a good friend of mine who uses a wheelchair, and she noticed, and is also a very funny comedian who's been on Comedy Bang Bang and a bunch of shows and stuff. And so at the beginning of the lockdown with the pandemic, she noticed that she was meeting people in meetings and hangouts and stuff over Zoom, where for the first time in her entire life, they didn't immediately notice that she had a disability. And so it's kind of about her experience navigating that. And then we set her up on like some blind dates with people who only saw her from the, you know, shoulders up. And what did they think? And how did she feel? And it really got interesting.
That's super interesting.
Yeah. Wow.
That's great.
Yeah.
And if enough people, when you say this is an Oscar qualifying thing,
yeah,
you kind of glossed over that, but to our brains, that's wild. That's crazy.
It potentially could be very cool. Basically, what it means is that if we were to win our category, like if we were to be named Best Documentary Short at this festival, that would qualify us for the Academy Awards.
Okay, wow. Yeah.
Wow.
I don't know how big of a long shot that is. I think, potentially it's a very, very large long shot, but it's a cool possibility. I don't think the number of viewers we get has any bearing on that. It's probably like six people who get to make that decision, or you know, whoever the jury of the festival is.
But if any of our listeners know those six,
Martin Scorsese is any still of their listening fears, to this podcast, yeah. Please, Martin Scorsese. You know,
send
don't
them
take him a vote.
30 rats. I have a couple projects that I would love to plug that are not out yet. So
yeah, sure.
I would say that's probably the best thing to do is follow those, and then I'll probably won't shut up about the projects once they're
Can you give us a little hint as to anything that's coming out soon?
Kind of. The only thing, not really, I guess. No, not really.
Okay.
Well, we'll have you back on when they come out, and you can tell us all about
them. This has been so much fun, you guys.
Yeah, Jacob's got 30 rats he's debuting later on his Instagram. 30 frozen rats.
No, what actually happened was Jake has been working on a new wedgie for a really long time, and he was really proud of it. And it's like an Amadeus when he's like worked on it so much, and he's about to show the emperor his new wedgie, and then Michael Hing, the Mozart of wedgies, comes in with this mind-blowing wine opener wedgie.
The Salieri of wedgies.
And, yeah.
That's the second Amadeus reference we've made in a couple of weeks, Ben.
Well, tell you what, it's a wonderful film.
Ben, what do you got coming up soon?
I'm going to be indoors a lot, so you should check that out.
Wonderful.
If you want to get some little essays and short stories that I've been writing, you can get them at theidiotreport.com.
Mm-hmm.
That's my newsletter. You can sign up for that. I also do a podcast with Michael Hing called Free to a Good Home.
Oh, yeah. Heard of it? Yeah. And speaking of that podcast, Free to a Good Home, the internet's only remaining funny podcast. A while ago, we made a promise that if we got to $1,500 on our Patreon, we would start doing an exclusive podcast about the McDonaldland extended universe. And a lot of people have been getting in contact with us and saying, look, hey, you've made $1,500. Can you start doing this podcast? And look, we agreed to $1,500 US. So...
Then the pencil pushers at Patreon started showing things in Australian dollars.
So it's quite confusing.
People all of a sudden thought that we'd made our target. Listen, if we make $1,500 US a month, we will make this podcast for you.
Mm-hmm.
We will do a limited run on all the characters in the McDonaldland's extended universe. As a result, I will not see my son. but we haven't piked. This is a currency issue. That's it.
all right. Well, thank you so much for listening. Please rate and review the podcast, and we will see you all next week. Bye. If you like pina coladas and getting caught in the rain, if you're not into yoga, if you have half a brain, if you like making love at midnight in the dunes on the Cape, escape.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.